There's a lot going on in the run-up to Wisconsin's elections, including the latest U-turn on voter ID. WPR News Director Michael Leland joins the show for our weekly roundup of the top news stories here in Wisconsin.
Michael, welcome back to Central Time.
Happy to be here.
So another big twist to Wisconsin's voter ID law broke last night. What happened?
Yes, well, as we've been hearing throughout the day today, the U.S. Supreme Court last night put the state's voter ID law on hold while it decides whether to review a court challenge to that law.
So what does this mean going forward? Where are we at?
Well, back up just a little bit. You know that on Monday we got word from the Seventh Circuit Appeals Court in Chicago that the voter ID law was constitutional and would be in effect for the November election. And that had come after an earlier ruling from that same court saying that while it considered the case, Wisconsin could reinstate the voter ID, and that's sort of what's been going on the last few weeks. This new ruling last night, the court didn't give any reason for it, but it effectively puts voter ID in Wisconsin on hold until one of two things happen. Either the court turns down the appeal or it accepts the case and then makes a final ruling. Neither of those is likely to happen before November 4th, so in effect, it pretty much guarantees that there will not be voter ID this time around, although there are a few weeks to go. Who knows?
No one's betting at this point, right? Well, the Government Accountability Board was in the process of getting the word out. The poll workers were swinging into gear. So what does this mean for the November election now?
Really, at this point, I think, you know, there's a lot of standing down as far as reminding people about the voter ID law. Government Accountability Board was set to unveil, a big publicity campaign to let people know that you need an ID and what kind of ID you would need and how to get one if you didn't have one. Haven't gotten official word from them yet that they're putting that on hold, but I would expect that to happen since, again, it really does appear unlikely that the courts would do anything that would put voter ID back on for November.
Now, the New York Times reported this as a setback for Governor Scott Walker. Politically, how big a deal is this for Democrats and Republicans?
The Republicans have been very much in favor of having voter ID. It's something they've been pushing for a long time. So obviously, this has got to be a disappointment and a defeat for them. J.B. Van Hollen, our state's Republican Attorney General, has said that he doesn't think it's over yet, and they may be able to do something to address some concerns that the court might have and get it back on by November 4th. It's hard to say what those concerns are because the Supreme Court didn't say why it was putting voter ID on hold. It just said it is on hold. Big win for Democrats who have been, opposing this for quite a long time, and people who just felt that, this would potentially disenfranchise a lot of voters. So obviously, Republicans not so happy, Democrats very happy about it, and, we'll see what happens from here.
Okay, we're going to move on to look at another aspect of elections here in Wisconsin. The Government Accountability Board and its director, Kevin Kennedy, have been under fire from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. What is Voss saying?
Yeah, this week at a luncheon, Speaker Robin Voss spoke out against the Government Accountability Board and Kevin Kennedy. He says Kennedy has to go. He's disappointed with how the GAB operates. Voss says the GAB needs overhauling, and he's predicting that it will not exist in its present form a couple of years from now.
And what kind of complaints does Voss have? We've heard about some issues he's had with the ballots. What else is there?
Yeah, the thing over the ballot was sort of the last straw. There was a model ballot that the GAB created. Voss and other Republicans had said that the way that it was designed appeared to give prominence to Democrats. They said this ballot was confusing and made it difficult for voters to tell which office some political candidates were running for. Voss has also been unhappy, for more than that, going back to how the GAB handled recall elections the last couple of years. He says it was too hesitant to identify and remove any duplicate or fictitious signatures on the recall petitions.
And from the GAB, what have they said?
Kevin Kennedy says he's not going to respond to personal comments from Voss and that his board is busy getting ready for the November 4th elections.
Okay, well, we've been talking courts a lot in Wisconsin in the last couple of months. I don't imagine that'll stop anytime too soon. But the Supreme Court has cleared the way for same-sex marriage now with a big non-decision,
right,
as it happens.
So last night we had a big decision. Last Monday, a non-decision that had a big effect. The Supreme Court met, you know, as it does first Monday in October to begin its new session, and it said it would not review a lawsuit that was filed against Wisconsin's ban on same-sex marriage. This also affected similar cases in a number of other states. So the effect of that was to let stand the lower court ruling that found that the state's ban on same-sex marriage was unconstitutional, which pretty much opened the door for, people of the same sex to be married in Wisconsin.
So does this mean we have a closing chapter to this story right now? Do we have a final word?
It sure looks that way. Governor Walker, who has been a big supporter of this ban, has said that the state's effort to keep the ban intact was over. Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, also who supported the ban, says he expects that the state will now administer the law fairly and impartially. But Jelaine Appling of Wisconsin Family Action says this is not the end of the fight against same-sex marriage. She says the judicial process is not over yet, and her group will continue finding ways to fight this this latest non-ruling, I guess, in Wisconsin.
Well, and on a national level, this whole thing is not quite a done deal yet, right?
Right. The Supreme Court didn't rule on same-sex marriage itself. It just said it would not accept these, would not take these cases and review them. There are other appellate courts around the country that still have same-sex marriage cases before them. Of note is the Fifth Circuit in the southern part of the state in, I think, New Orleans, I believe. If any of those were to uphold a ban, well, then you've got some appellate courts upholding a ban while others have struck it down, which would most likely send it back to the Supreme Court. And then it would have to decide at that point, are we going to accept this case and make a decision one way or the other? So it might not be over nationwide yet, but right now 30 states have same-sex marriage on their books legal, 20 do not, and the court cases continue.
And here in Wisconsin, one dangling question is the status of hundreds of couples who, same-sex couples, who did get married before the hold back in June. What do we know about the status of those?
Right. There were about 500 couples who got married during that sort of window where county clerks were accepting applications for marriage applications. That's still up in the air at this point. The ACLU says it's going to talk to state officials about those marriages and get a determination of whether they're legal or not. The state has not said definitively one way or the other. So there are about 500 couples who are hopeful that their marriages will be recognized, but there's been no official word on that just yet.
On an interesting side note, we didn't see those hundreds of couples rushing to the courthouse to get married after the Supreme Court's not taking up the case earlier. So it seems like the rush happened early.
Right. The rush back in June was sort of the sense of urgency, knowing that it appeared legal and county clerks were, accepting, were giving marriage licenses to same-sex couples. But there was this feeling that this window may not be open for a long time. Now the sense is, it's not about to be taken away. And so even county clerks are recommending that these same-sex couples plan their weddings like any other couple would. And so you've got, I imagine a lot of people planning June weddings for next year.
Well, in other state news, we're going to see the candidates debate. That is Governor Scott Walker and Mary Burke. What can we expect?
Right. This is their first of two meetings. They're going to debate tonight in Eau Claire and then next Friday night in Milwaukee. It'll be broadcast statewide, 7 o'clock tonight. Wisconsin Public Radio will carry the debates as well. Walker has said he'll use this time to have what he's calling a conversation with voters, talk about his record, why he deserves a second term. For Mary Burke, it's sort of an introduction for her because a lot of voters haven't seen her yet. They haven't really heard from her. And she says she'll use this time to introduce herself and talk about her ideas and plans for the state and really just try to get herself out there a little bit more in the last couple of weeks before the election.
And WPR is representing in Eau Claire tonight, right?
Absolutely. There's a panel of four journalists and a moderator. WPR's Sean Johnson, our state government reporter, will be one of the four journalists asking questions tonight.
So this close to Election Day, everyone's wondering what's going to move the needle. Are debates going to do it?
It's hard to say. I mean, generally, the accepted assumption is they don't really, unless one of the candidates either says something huge and groundbreaking that, shifts the dialogue in the race or messes up in a big way. But candidates really try hard not to, you know, do anything that would hurt them. So they're pretty good about trying to stay on message. You don't get a lot of news being broken. That's why in debates, it's you know, important to have follow-up questions, because journalists sometimes need to prod the candidates to answer a question that they might not really want to answer. So we'll see how all that goes tonight.
And Leslie, we had a really hard goodbye this week at Wisconsin Public Radio. We lost a great journalist and a good friend. We lost Mike Simonson.
Yeah, it's impossible to say too much good about Mike. He was our, as we used to joke around here, superior reporter. He was our reporter in Superior. He was really the first person hired when the Superior Bureau was open in 1990, first reporter hired. So he's been covering the Northland in Wisconsin for 24 years. Big issues, you know, we all know he's been following the iron ore mine matter in Iron County, Native American issues, the region's economy, just, you know, talking to ordinary people living their lives and talking about the economy up there or how times are changing and, you know, just basically a real slice of northern Wisconsin for the rest of us in the state. You know, really, his reporting for so many years was just really a gift to the people of Wisconsin.
And he had a reputation for taking young journalists under his wing, right?
Yeah, he also taught a journalism class at UW-Superior, and he would take on some of his students as interns. And, you know, it was Mike Simonson's reporting boot camp. You know, he encouraged them to ask tough questions and to do some serious reporting. His reporters would regularly clean up at awards contests around the country. And many of them have jobs in the industry today. You know, a couple of them have been hired here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Others are working in newsrooms in the Twin Ports area, and others have gone on to print or broadcast newsrooms around the country. So he leaves a fantastic legacy for journalism, but as of right now, a huge hole in our hearts.
Yeah, he's been a guest on Central Time several times, and we're just really going to miss his warmth, the depth of his knowledge, and so much more of just having him part of our news scene here in Wisconsin.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, well, Michael, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Have a good weekend.
That was WPR News Director Michael Leland.
Yeah, we will miss Mike Simonson here. And in addition to his appearances on our show and the hard news coverage, I always enjoyed his shipwreck coverage and his Lake Superior things he brought us. His award-winning Edmund Fitzgerald documentary, the coverage he did last year of a Prohibition-era pulpwood ship that may have been carrying contraband scotch along the way. And he brought the hard news, but he really knew a good story about his region when he saw it.
Something else you may not know, he saved us in a pinch
That's right.
Two.
That's right.
He was always there. The breadth of his knowledge was amazing. Something else I'm really going to miss about him. He made us laugh.